Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David Mitchell, the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, now at the 12th Hour, in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is October 6, 2016, or it is Bull 6, 2020. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, The Love of Yahweh. The love of Yah is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. He goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair fell down with care. Yah gave his son to win. His erring child, he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. No love of Yah, how rich and pure, a measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When holy times shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, and then you hear or refuse to pray for our rocks and hills and mountains call. Yah's love so sure shall still endure, O measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. Oh, love of Yah, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Could be with thee the ocean filled, and were the skies a parchment made, well every stone on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the law of Yahweh, would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, nor stretch from sky to sky. Oh, love of Yah, rich and pure, measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. He came to set the captives free. Okay, that's the name of our sermon for today. We're going to be dealing with some scriptures here to start with. And let's go to David. David only in the Psalms mentions captives one time, but let's start with that. Psalm 106, let's start with Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of Yahweh Elohim is upon me, because Yahweh hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty unto the captives, and the opening of the prison unto them that are bound. Now this is where we're at today. So that spirit is transferable. Isaiah is no longer with us. Naturally, he came on the scene about 2,500 to 3,000 years ago. So his contemporary has to be here today, will be here today. And that would be the one proclaiming this message today, the antipical Elijah. He's the one that's that has the spirit upon him today to proclaim liberty to the captives. He's the one giving that message to at the appointed time will announce the year. And I'm announcing that the 2017 is the beginning of the year for the setting the captives free. Now, I've got a nice, wonderful surprise for you. In Isaiah 45:13, this is Cyrus of old, the type. He's a king, king of kings back then. He was declared the king of kings. And he is... And we have his contemporary antitype today in the form of Donald Trump. Now, rightfully so, because Yahweh wanted to show that the true relationship in these last days between his servants that plays their part in fulfilling prophecy. And Donald Trump being an antitype of Cyrus, and Cyrus was a heathen barbarian. He was classified as a Gentile. And the Jews recognized him as a Gentile, deliverer. But Yahweh raised him up to deliver the Jews back then, to help and deliver them out of Babylonian captivity back to Jerusalem to rebuild it. And he furnished the power, he furnished the finances, and he furnished the material, and he wrote letters that they could take with them on their way back to Jerusalem out of their Babylonian captivity, and that the leaders could carry with them as they went through other kingdoms, passed through other kingdoms, that they would deliver those messages to those kings of other kingdoms to let them and assist them and getting back to Jerusalem. Well, this is the same thing today. Donald Trump is this antithetical Gentile, heathen, barbarian that became converted to Judaism by virtue of the power of the Holy Spirit in him, that was put in him by the Father, Yahweh Elohim, to do his will. So likewise today, nothing can stop it. You can't thwart prophecy. Anyway, Donald Trump is fulfilling the prophecy of the antitype of Cyrus in our day, and it will turn out exactly the way it did in the type. It will be fulfilled. As is, prophecy will be fulfilled through this office of the Elijah David. And that's the reason why we're giving this prophecy today, because it's very much present truth of what's going on and the politics today for this election year of the United States. And so we're going to continue to read now here in Isaiah 45. Let's start with verse 1. Thus saith Yahweh unto his anointed, unto Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass, and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness, and the hidden riches of the secret places. Now this is a prophecy that Donald Trump is fulfilling today. That thou mayest know that I, the Yahweh, which call thee by thy name, am the Elohim of Israel. Today that name would be Donald Trump. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my elect, I have even called thee by thy name. Now how important is this? For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my elect. Now Jacob is the first Hebrew Israelite to receive the adaptation of the new name Israel. That is actually a name for Jacob. Well, that's the name for antitypical Jacob today also. So Jacob was elected. There was two of them up contending for the leadership of the election, and that was Jacob and Esau, his twin brother, that was born first. They were up for the election. So they had 30 years to grow up and on-the-job training. And then when the 30 years drew near for them to one or the other to receive the birthright, the blessing, from their father, Jacob coveted the birthright. He didn't want it for the physical enhancement that he would get a double portion from his father of his goods when his father died. He didn't want that. He didn't care about that. He wanted to be the progenitor of the righteous line, to carry on the righteous line, because Jacob in his heart was a very spiritual young man. Esau was very carnal. He was not spiritual at all. So Esau didn't get the birthright, and he didn't get a name change that goes with the birthright. And now had Esau been true to his calling, and lived up to that position of the priesthood that the firstborn gets, if he lived up to it, he could have got the name changed to from Esau to Israel. But because he didn't live up to it, he didn't get the birthright blessing at the end of 30 years, and so Jacob. Faith wasn't his mother. His mother was the one that led out in the deception of Stephen deceiving Esau out of his birthright, which wasn't hard at all to get his birthright from him. And all Jacob had to do was appeal to Esau's carnal nature, and which he did by making him a good pot of lentils stew. It no doubt Esau's favorite, and so that's what got the birthright from Esau transferred to Jacob. It was by the carnal flesh, by old appetite, which caused Adam and Eve to fall, the appetite. So Esau, the firstborn, that caused him to fall and lose his birthright, was appetite. So Jacob gets the name changed, but he had to spend 20 years of paying for his sin of deceiving his brother out of his birthright. He was driven out of his father's house. He was driven out of the land of Palestine, which land of Canaan, they called it then. Land of Palestine, and to Mesopotamia, across the border. And he was sent, his mother sent him to her brother's house. And Mesopotamia was a heathen idol worshiper person. And nevertheless, Jacob went to his kinsmen, and he got him his wives and his children. It took him 20 years to accumulate all that and to earn his position to be a candidate to receive the first name change of Israel. And incidentally, when Jacob, at the end of 20 years sojourn in Mesopotamia, on his way back to his father's house, he had to wrestle with the angel all night, and he got victory, and then he got his name changed from Jacob to Israel, and that's the first time then that the land of Palestine, the land of Canaan, that Abraham was called out of the Chaldees earlier to go into a land that I'll show thee, and Yahweh brought him into the land of Canaan. Well, it wasn't called Israel. It wasn't called Israel and named Israel until after Jacob received the name change that night that he wrestled with the angel. That's when the land of Israel then became also the land with the name of Israel. So you can't get better than that. We have first a prophet, a preordained anointed servant of Yahweh to be the progenitor of the righteous line, and by his overcoming and getting complete forgiveness, he receives the name change of Israel, and that's what permanently branded the name Israel upon that holy land, because Jacob had to become holy and completely free from sin before he could even inherit that name. And so the land of Israel also was branded with that name, showing that this is a promise and a prophecy that Israel will become sanctified and purified and a place for the kingdom of heaven to be set upon when the kingdom of heaven comes down here in this very near future in this end time. So it says, for Jacob's, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect. Okay, so Jacob, his name is Israel now, and he's the one that Yahweh elected over his brother Esau to be the progenitor of the righteous line, and to brand that name Israel not only upon Yahweh's chosen elected people, the 144,000, during these last days, but also upon the land of Israel. But Israel cannot assume that name until after all evil and evil persons has been purged out of her land. Then she can truly say that I am, the land of Israel is a purified, holy land. And that will happen in Zechariah 14 war, the war of Zechariah 14. When that takes place, then it says there'll be no, after that war's over, it says there'll be no more of the Canaanite. There's your land of Canaan, you see, and the land of Israel. It says so in Zechariah 14. Okay, so now, and only the righteous are going to dwell in that land. That's the same way it is here in Texas. Texas is being set up as a prototype of the land of Israel, because he's raised up an antitypical Jacob here in the wilderness of the people. He's raised him up. And we are established at the exact place where the Holy Spirit brought us to and established us, and we will be established permanently for as long as for the duration of this United States. Now, I want to say you something. Not only is Texas going to be sanctified and purified, the whole land, and all the wicked purged out of it, but the whole United States, the whole Western Hemisphere, is going to be purged of all sin and sinners. Out of this Western Hemisphere, all the way from Alaska, Canada, all the way to the southern tip of Brazil, of South America. Going to be purged. And so the United States is sandwiched right in the middle of the North American and the South American. She's called the United States of America. Okay. So what do you call it now? The correct pronunciation for United States of America is United States of the America. And that's present tense and a noun syntax. And so what does it mean, United States? United is your key word. United is a past tense adverb. It has no meaning. When you talk about the 50 states of the United States being united together. Because there's not two states that are united together right now, and there's 50 states designated here in the United States. But if you put the correct rendering of the statement United States, you'd give it a present tense word, unity states. States means a condition of the people and a geographical location of the Western Hemisphere, and that would be what they call the state of Texas. So this is where the unity is going to be set up here in the Central, and I call it Central America. The United States is Central America. Canada is North America, and everything south of the Rio Grande is the South America. And so we have United States as Central America, and this is where the unity states of the righteous will take place. Then it will be truly called the unity states of the Americas with an S on it. North America, South America, Central America. Okay, now they call Mexico Little America, and Mexico hates it. Mexico says we used to own Texas, and Texas is still ours, and so we're not going to accept that being called Little America. We're going to be called America straight, period, because Mexico has the idea that they're going to take over all of the Western Hemisphere, Canada, and England, with Canada, North America, thinks they're going to take over the Western Hemisphere. And that's what we had this here NAFTA trade agreement that Bill Clinton signed 15 years ago into law. Free trade between North and South America and so forth. And make it all one country with no borders. That's what NAFTA is for. Well, that's in the process of being repealed when Donald Trump becomes president. It's going to revert back to Central America, United States again, being in charge of both North America and South America. And that's what it says in Ezekiel 20, verse 33. It talks about he's going to bring the all nations. I'm going to gather you out of all nations when you have been scattered, and I'm going to bring you into the wilderness of the people. I'm going to go read it to you. It says that, as I live, saith Yahweh, this is Ezekiel 20, verse 33. Surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people and will get you out of the countries wherein ye are scattered. Okay, so now this is talking about Israel. This is talking about scattered Israel today. And all the countries that they're scattered to the four winds of the heaven. They're scattered in all countries of the world. So he said, I'm going to get you out of all of the countries wherein ye are scattered. With a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm with fury poured out. That's the reason why we have these immigrants coming in here from all over the world, fulfilling this prophecy. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. So where's the wilderness of the people? Yes, Texas is the designated wilderness of the people. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith Yahweh Elohim. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I will purge out from among you the rebels, and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country, singular country, where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. There's your Israel right there. And ye shall know that I am Yahweh. And the land of Israel will be a purified land by the time this takes place. By the time that the elect are gathered from the United States, they have been gathered into the wilderness here in Texas, time they are gathered, and time that they are taken into the land of Israel, across the waters, then Israel will have already gone through their renovation of their land, fulfilling Ezekiel 38 and 39, for instance, and Ezekiel 37. Zechariah 14, fulfilling that. Once that takes place, then there's going to be the judgment take place here in the wilderness of the people, and then the remnant will be taken into the land of Israel that's waiting for them. Okay, that's the righteous. That's the elect. And ye shall know that I am the Yahweh. As for you, O house of Israel, that saith Yahweh Elohim, go ye, serve ye every one his idols, and hereafter also, if ye will not hearken unto me, but pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols. For in my holy mountain, in the mountain of the height of Israel, says Yahweh, Elohim, there shall all the house of Israel, all of them in the land, serve me. There will I accept them, and there will I require your offering, and the first fruits of your oblation with all your holy things. I will accept you with your sweet savor, and I will bring you out from the people, and gather you out of the countries wherein you have been scattered. And I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. Okay, so now, who are these heathen? They're all of the wicked that runs our government and their followers of the United States. And that starts with the president. So he says, I'm going to be sanctified in you. So that's what he raised up Donald Trump for. He says, he's my anointed. I've raised him up in righteousness, that's Isaiah 45. And he says to do my work, to do this thing. So we have no matter what the other side, his enemies are saying, they are doing everything in the world within their power to defeat this Donald Trump. But they're entitled, according to scriptures, as Mystery Babylon. And this Mystery Babylon, you're supposed to read Revelation 17. This is what's going on right now. Revelation 17 is what's really going on right now. And you shall know that I'm the Yahweh when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for the which I lift up mine hand to give it unto your fathers. And there shall be there shall you remember your ways and all your doings wherein you have been defiled. You shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evil that you have committed. And you shall know that I am the Yahweh when I have wrought with you for my name's sake, not according unto your wicked ways, nor according unto your corrupt doings, O you house of Israel, said Yahweh, Elohim. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward the south, and drop thy word toward the south, and prophesy against the forest of the south field, and say to the forest of the south, hear the word of the Yahweh, thus saith Yahweh Elohim. Behold, I will kindle a fire in thee, and it shall devour every green tree in thee, and every dry tree. The flaming flame shall not be quenched, and all faces from the south to the north shall be burned therein. Now there's your destruction. Have everybody that's north of Texas, when this judgment comes here in the Western Hemisphere, all the way to the North Pole, Alaska, Canada, and all the way to the South Pole, the tip of Brazil, South America. He's causing great upheaval in this whole world. The prophecy is being fulfilled here. Verse 48 of Ezekiel 20. And all flesh shall see that I, the Yahweh, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. So all the flesh here in the whole Western Hemisphere where this prophecy is meeting its fulfillment, it says they're going to see it. They're going to all see that I, the Yahweh, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. Then said I, O Yahweh Elohim, they say of me, doth he not speak parables? So they looked at Ezekiel and they said, Ezekiel, we don't understand a thing you're saying. You're just speaking parables, and it don't have no meaning to us at all at that time when Ezekiel made this prophecy. And it wasn't supposed to be understood by them. Ezekiel didn't even understand when his prophecy would be his fulfillment. He didn't understand it. He was just told to write it, and that was all he was supposed to do. And he wrote it with inspiration, attending him. And so there you have it. All right, that is very good. We're going to go back to Isaiah 45 again. And it says, in verse 13, he said, I have raised him up. Who's this him? Donald Trump. In righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Yeshua of the host. This is the Son talking. This is Yeshua, the Son, that's in charge of this prophecy. Because the Hebrew name for Yeshua, one of his names is Abaddon. And the reason why he was given that name, Abaddon, the meaning of Abaddon means destroyer of all of my enemies. Okay? So, this is Abaddon, the Son, that is speaking here because he's in charge. And he's the commander-in-chief of the armed forces here upon earth. It says so right there in Revelation 19, that when he comes on the white horse, he comes as the King of Kings and Sovereign of Sovereigns, and he takes charge of his great army. So he's a warrior. Yeshua is a man of war. Yes, Son. I believe it's, let's see here. Let's see if I got this right here. Let's look at Revelation 19. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Yeshua, our Savior. It says Lord our God here, but that translates in the Hebrew translation would be the Yeshua, the Son, our Savior. Okay, now in verse 2, the true and righteous, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped Yahweh that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our Elohim, praise our Savior, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him. So only those that are his servants and those that fear him, both small and great. Those that don't fear him will not praise him. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of the mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Yahweh Elohim omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And unto her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen and white, for the fine linen is represents the righteousness of the saints. Now it's got the verb is there. It says the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. The correct wording should be for the fine linen is for the fine linen is with the representation of the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of Yahweh. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren that have the testimony of Yahshua, worship Yahweh the Father, for the testimony of Yahshua is with the spirit of the prophecy. I add the preposition with, because the testimony of Yahshua, it says, is the spirit of prophecy. No, the testimony of Yahshua is part of the spirit of prophecy. It's not the whole spirit of prophecy. Unless you want to say that Yahshua, the written word, which he is the written word of the Old and New Testament, and that he, and the written word is, contains all of the spirit of prophecy that is to be interpreted in our day at the fulfillment of each prophecy, at the fulfillment of each parable, each allegory, each type or antitype has to be analyzed as where it applies according to the prophecy as it is pointed out in the prophecy. Okay, so it says, verse 11, And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in the righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now, didn't I tell you that this here Yahshua, he's a warrior. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of the Yahweh. So Yahshua has another name. It's called the Word. Go to John chapter 1 and you can verify that. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in the fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nation, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty Yahweh. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Sovereign of Sovereigns. And I saw another angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying unto all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great Yahweh, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. So after Yahshua comes on the white horse to make war, he's going to destroy all the leaders of all the countries of North and South America and all the United States, all the governors and the leaders of the 50 different states of the United States, those that will not come over and become righteous and join his great army, he will slay them. So he's going to clean house on this whole world. He's going to start here in the Western Hemisphere. Okay, and he's going to culminate this great slaughter with the Prince of Babylon, which is Obama, and the false prophet, which is his contemporary, Joe Biden, the vice president. He is a Jesuit Catholic, just like all the rest of them. And they think they're going to triumph and rule the whole world and destroy all the righteous. Well, Yahshua, he's got a different take on that. And it's right here in Scripture, and it will happen exactly the way it's written here. In no other way. So it says in Revelation 19:21, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse. So all those that weren't killed in the first tidal wave of battle, when Yahshua started right here in America, and he went all the way to the North Pole, and he went all the way to the South Pole with his great army, and he destroyed every wicked person left standing. And then he said that all of those, after he would come back and render judgment upon the President of the United States and his Vice President and all of those evil Congress and Senators that lend their power to that beast for 1 hour. And that's the only time that the Congress and Senate, that's the last time to rule. They said in Revelation 17, they said they rule 1 hour with the mystery Babylon. That's the only time the Congress and Senate will actually have their own kingdom. They share it with this beast and the false prophet. And so whenever the judgment falls upon the beast and the false prophet, then all of those kings, represented by those 10 horns, that have shared their power and lend their power to this beast, they're going to all be destroyed together. It says so right there in Revelation 19:20. In Isaiah 45:14, now, I'm going to read verse 13 again, then I'm going to go right on into 14. Says, I have raised Donald Trump up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let my captives not for prize. He shall let go my captives not for prize, nor reward, saith Yahshua of the host. This saith Yahshua, the labor of Egypt, verse 14, and merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee in chains, they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely the Yahweh is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God, they call it here. There is no other, in other words. There is no other Savior outside of the Son and his Father Yahweh. Isaiah 45:15. Verily thou art a Yahweh that hideth thyself, O Yahweh of Israel, the Savior. Let's do that again. Verily thou art a Savior that hideth thyself, O Savior and Redeemer of Israel. And then it says, the Savior. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together, that are makers of idols. And Israel shall be saved in the Yahweh with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. And that says Yahweh that created the heavens, Elohim himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Yahweh, and there is none else. I have not spoken in a secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I'm talking about the seed of Jacob. We're the seed of Jacob. We're the royal family of David, the seed of Jacob. Seek ye me in vain. And I actually, my ancestors, their name was Jacob. They seek ye me in vain. I, the Yahweh, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves in tongue, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nation. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from the ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Yahweh, and there is no Elohim else beside me? A just Elohim and a Savior. Now let's do that again. This Savior is talking about Yahshua. Yahshua is the author, and Yahweh had put, ever since the fall of Adam, and Yahshua became a surety for their salvation by virtue of him agreeing and accepting the role of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He was put in charge of this world. The Father put his Son in charge of this world and have empowered him to execute justice and judgment upon all nations. So actually, we're talking about the Savior. He's in charge of all these last year of these last day activities. His Father, no doubt, is looking on from his throne in the heavens in the sides of the north. No doubt, he's in direct communication by the Spirit with his Son 24/7. So he says, Isaiah 45:21. Let's read that again. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from the ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not the I the Yahweh, and there is no Elohim else beside me? A just Elohim and a Savior, there is none beside me. Let's do that again. Now let's read it with Yahshua's name in the place of Yahweh Elohim. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this in the ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I, the Yahshua? And there is no deity or no Savior else beside me. A just king and a Savior, there is none beside me. Oh, yes, sir, that's true. When he comes riding on that white horse here in Revelation 19, there's a lot of them following him, and they're all out on white horses. He's not the only one on a white horse. All of his army is also, but he is leading that. And he said, there's no other with the leadership and the power that I have. I don't know of any. I don't know of any. I'm not, you know. And so in Isaiah 45:22, he said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am the Savior, and there is none else. I am the King of Israel, and there is none else. And then he says in verse 23, Isaiah 45, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth, in righteousness it shall not return. And unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Isaiah 45:24. Surely shall one say in the Yeshua, have I righteousness and strength, even unto him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. Isaiah 45:25. The Yeshua shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Okay, all the seed of Israel now is going to be justified and shall glory. That's Isaiah 45:25. Now let's read Romans chapter 11 to close out our service today. Has 36 verses. Let's read verse 26 first, and then go back and read the whole chapter. It says, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away unrighteousness from Jacob. Okay. This Deliverer is our Yeshua, our Savior. And in verse 27 it says, for this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, or as the English, the old English translation, the good news, of they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of Yahweh are without repentance. For as you in times past have not believed Yahweh, you have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Okay, who's unbelief? The unbelief of the Israelites, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. He's talking about the Gentiles, these Roman Gentiles. It says, Paul says to them, for as ye in times past have not believed the Savior, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, the house of Israel's unbelief, the Pharisees. So now he says, you've obtained mercy. In other words, he's extended now the call and the salvation unto the Gentiles, because the Jerusalem, the Israelites, the Pharisees have rejected it. Even so, have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. Now, the mercy given to the Gentiles, if they accept the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yeshua, then it says those ones that formerly had rejected of the house of Israel, and now they can obtain mercy through you. Because mercy was shown to you, and now they see it, and now they want to have a part of this mercy. For Elohim has concluded them all in unbelief. See how he concluded the whole house of Israel in unbelief. And that's reading Paul says, because you put it from you, talking to the Jews, the Pharisees, for which you are my brethren. He said, because you put the salvation from you, he said, lo, I turn to the Gentiles. And that's what's going on right here. That's why Paul is ministering to these Roman Gentiles. For Yahweh has concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. So he, and that all means the house of Israel and the house of the Gentiles. He said he has concluded them all in unbelief, Jew and Gentile alike, so that he could have mercy upon all of them that will turn around, repent, and come and accept Yeshua, their Savior, through the new and living way, Hebrews 10:20, by the blood of the sprinkling, Hebrews 12:22-24, and 1 Peter 1, chapter, I believe it was 1, chapter 1, verse 2, And it says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of Yahweh, and how unsearchable all his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Savior, Yahshua? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given unto him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and unto him are all things, unto whom be glory forever. Hallelujah. All right, I just actually read from Romans 11:26 through verse 36. And it says, Romans 9, I say the truth, verse 1, I say the truth in the Yahshua Allah not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from the Savior. For my brethren and my kinsmen, he said, according unto the flesh, who are Israelites. He said, my brethren in the flesh are Israelites, he said in Romans 9:4. Unto whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of the Yahshua, and the promises. The service of the Yahshua means of the sanctuary. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Yahshua came, who is over all. Yahshua blessed forever. Hallelujah. Not as though the word of Yahweh hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of the Israel. Now, you see that? They're not all Israel. The Gentiles is concluded in the house of Israel. But even among them, they're not all brethren and Israelites. Even among the Jews, they're not all Israelites. They're not all Israelites among the Gentiles. There's only a remnant among the Jews and a remnant among the Gentiles that makes up the whole house of Israel. That's the one that can be purified, sanctified, made white by the belief in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, our Savior, the new and living way, by the blood of sprinkling. That's the only ones that are going to receive that name Israel and be called the whole house of Israel. Now that because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children? Just because you're the seed of Abraham, and they're not all children. Esau was the seed of Abraham, but he wasn't counted as one of the children of Abraham. So Ishmael was the seed of Abraham, but he was cast out of the house of Israel, out of Abraham's household, sent into a foreign land. Get out of here. You're born of the flesh. You're not an Israelite. Okay. So now it says, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of Yahweh. Well, as it proved out with so many of Yahweh's leaders down through the ages, they proved out to be carnal, to be of the flesh, and so in the end, they were not really, they were called to fill the position as a leader of Israel, but because they remained carnal and they contributed to the flesh, and always had to appease the flesh first, Yahweh says, you proved to not be the children of Abraham by your own actions. The end result proves out who you really are. These are not the children of Yahweh, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Okay, the children of the promise are counted for the seed, and today, that's 144,000. They're the ones of the promise. That is to come forth in Revelation 14, that's Revelation 7 and Revelation 14. And so it says in Romans 9:9, for this is the word of the promise. At this time when I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that's Esau and Jacob, that the purpose of Yahweh according unto the election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. So Esau ended up serving Jacob, his younger brother. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. So all those that serve the flesh today, whether they be of the house of Israel or the house of the Gentiles, if you serve the flesh, then Yahweh says here through Esau that he hates you. But he loves the Jacobites that repent, overcome, and get a name changed to Israel. This brings the close of our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour. Call us number 11. Click on our audio archives to hear this message. And more, we're going to close now with a song. Okay, my sentimental favorite, the song that I wrote quite a few years ago, entitled Dusty Roads and Sandal Feet. Reason to believe in that man of Galilee, for he walked those dusty roads to you and me. Often frustrating, prompted his burden all along as he journeyed along that road to Calvary. Dusty roads, sandal feet, where the journey was complete, from the manger to the cross, to those golden streets, to a place in the land where someday we all shall meet. The author of the story, dusty roads, sandal feet. I have reason to believe in that man of Galilee, for there's nothing in this world he couldn't do. Change the water into wine, cast out demons, heal the blind, and that's why I believe in that man of Galilee. Dusty roads for his companions, desert places, his abode. Sandal feet were often weary and beneath a heavy load. Never complaining as he went along the way, on the way between the Calvary and the judgment day. Dusty roads, sandal feet, how would you like to meet that man named Joshua coming down your street? Would you be like Zacchaeus and climb up in a tree? Or would you be like Jonah who wanted to flee? Dusty roads and no fee, for the journey was complete, from the manger to the cross, to the golden street, to a place in the land where someday we all shall meet. Author of the story, dusty roads and sandal feet. The author of the story, dusty roads and sandal feet.